You're a long way off. I've got to sort my neck mic out, and I'd like you to do two things whilst I'm doing that. Could you, some of you at least, move forward and give me more of the family feel that we want this warm winter morning? But the other is, on the way, or turning to the next person, could you just say something to one or two other people that you think will bless them this morning, that will bring them some cheer, that will lift them up? Just say something to somebody while I go. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And then a passage from 2 Peter. If you keep up with the Thrive news, I was quite amused to see that they call these books 1 Pete and 2 Pete. So this is from 2 Pete chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So that was from the Old Testament, from the Epistles, and from the Gospel. Now, John chapter 3, a well-known passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plain that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. If you had to choose a word to complete the phrase, Christmas is a season of, what would you choose?
Generosity.
Sorry?
Generosity.
Right. Shout it out, please.
Celebration.
Yes?
Joy.
Yes?
Remembering.
Yes?
Goodwill.
Goodwill, yes. Well, I did a straw poll of a few people during the week, and unlike here, the overwhelming majority was, it's a season of goodwill, which is the theme of our sermon this morning. If you remember, if you were here last week, you remember, Chris said there's a mini series of four sermons coming up before Christmas. Short phrases that we associate with Christmas with a question mark at the end. So last week it was, God with us. This week, goodwill to all. I think of the carol service, peace on earth. And then Christmas Eve morning, glory to God. And last week, Chris took a passage or verse from, I think it was Matthew. Yes?
Yeah, I think so.
I said Matthew chapter 1 anyway, for his. Interestingly, James and Chris together decided that for the next three sermons, there would just be one verse as the text for all of them. So, goodwill to all, peace on earth, glory to God. Can you bring that verse up, please, Ruth? Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So next week, peace on earth, then glory to God. And when I was given the topic goodwill to all, I thought, I've been left out. It doesn't appear there. In fact, if you look at any modern English translation, you don't find the phrase goodwill to all or goodwill to men. And I used my limited language knowledge to look in some modern French and German translations. It's not there either. So why are we having this as a title? Well, if you go back to Paul's favourite version, the King James Version, then that reads, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But scholars have decided that wasn't the best translation of the Greek and of the manuscripts that are available now of this passage. So goodwill is dropped. And it's not even that the sense of goodwill to all appears in these translations. You know, that isn't the sense of it either. On the other hand, the King James Version has had an enormous influence on our language, our English language, and our understanding of what the gospel is and what the Bible says. And I suspect that if you ask lots of people, does the Bible say goodwill to men in what the angels declared at Christmas? Lots of people would say yes. It's there in the collective memory, at least. And Christmas is a season of goodwill. It is an appropriate word to finish off my phrase. So at that point, I decided I'd better accept the sermon title and do something about it. So what is goodwill? If I'd asked you at the beginning, when I was getting my mic on, just to, if you like, have goodwill, to sort of feel goodwill, to have an attitude of goodwill, I wonder what you'd have done. Well, you might have started thinking about someone you knew or some situation you knew. You might even have looked around here and thought of, what do they need? You know, what can I do to help? I really want something to bless them. How can I encourage them? I think goodwill starts with that feeling and that attitude of, I want to do something good for somebody. That's the feeling and the attitude. And when I got this far in thinking about it, I thought, yes, but that's like, and I don't know whether they're still around, but when I was younger, on Valentine's Day, there were a lot of cute little cards that said, love is a special way of feeling. And there's some truth in that. But if that's all it is, then I'm not quite sure that I know there's any love there. And it's the same, James tells us about this in chapter 2, verse 16, about faith. You say you're a person of faith. I can't see that in what you're doing. And James says, that faith is rubbish. And it's the same with goodwill. You know, goodwill can't be something that stays inside as a way of feeling. If it did, then we'd be satisfied with some of the, what I call the Christmas seasonal feel-good things. You know, singing I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, you know, makes us feel nice and cozy inside. Or watching yet again the snowman with or without his snow dog, a nice feeling. And even what's coming in nowadays, Paddington Bear, in a rather sort of rougher sense, always wanting to do good for the people he's with, even if it turns out that it isn't quite like that. But it remains a feeling, it remains dormant unless you do something. And when I was thinking about this, I hit upon something again that I haven't read for a long time, though I've heard a lot about it, and that's Dickens' A Christmas Carol. In that book, here you have a person, Scrooge, who is converted into a person who, amongst other things, has goodwill. And how does he express it? Well, if you watch the film or go to the play. He'd probably have him dancing around, shouting merriment to everybody, giving Bob Cratchit a turkey, and all those other things. In 1843, there was an official report published into child labour in this country, child labour in this country, where there were children, people as young as seven, who were doing 12-hour shifts in the mines or in the factories. Dickens was absolutely incensed by this. He was furious. And I'll use some of his own words. He expressed his contempt for the sleek, slobbering, fat-paunched, overfed, apoplectic, snorting cattle of the ruling classes who had allowed this to happen and let it continue. And he said he would deliver a sledgehammer blow to them. And it took him 6 weeks to write this short novel, which he finished at the end of November, and he published it, and it was a bestseller, sold 6,000 copies on Christmas Day. We've sentimentalized Christmas Carol, or softened it to some extent. It's a very strong political polemic, and it's just as relevant today, this is an aside, just as relevant today as it was in 1843. And it contains, in my view, a more rounded account of what goodwill is. Goodwill, like love, is something you do. Now, if you Google goodwill, you get sort of three groups of items come up. There are inevitably the dictionary definitions, and they usually concentrate on the feeling and the attitude. Very few of them, if any, talk about active goodwill. You then get the use of goodwill as a technical term in business, that when you are valuing a business, you can value its physical assets, and then you also can put a value on its goodwill. And if I were buying a business, I'd have to pay for the physical assets, and I'd have to pay for the goodwill. And in some cases, the goodwill will be worth far more than the physical assets. It's a way of putting some kind of monetary value on intangible things that you can't pin down and say, you know, this is how much it cost me when I bought it, or anything like that. You may be interested to know that it's been said that about 20 billion of our eventual Brexit bill will be goodwill rather than something that can be pinned down to specific costs. But the third group of Google items that's come up, and they must have, they've been going for a long time, and they've perhaps learned how to get themselves up the search engine list, is Goodwill Industries Incorporated of the USA. And it's interesting what they do. They offer job training, and they offer help into employment for people who have barriers to employment. It's a little bit like Aspire, if you know Aspire in Oxford. They've been doing it since 1902, and in 2015, they helped 312,000 people into employment. Now, I call that goodwill on an industrial scale, and is perhaps the best example amongst all these definitions and so on of what the sort of goodwill is that we're talking about today. So I've set the scene in a way by what I've said so far, and I want to do the second half of the sermon in response to perhaps, well, three that I might put them as questions. Whatever translation you use for Luke chapter 2, verse 14, is God a God of goodwill? Is God someone for whom you can say he has goodwill toward men? Toward all. I had no difficulty answering that, you know, if you like, from the way I understand God. Of course he is. Of course he wants what's good for people. And yet I've got to remember that to some extent we have to be aware that possibly in our own thinking, and certainly the thinking of many people, God can be quite a fearsome being. There is a negative side to the picture that people have of God. Some people may think that God, or the gods, but even God himself, bears ill will towards some people at least. But I would say my understanding that God shows goodwill to all, has the attitude of goodwill to all, is backed up by what we read about him. The passage from John chapter 3 is perhaps the strongest expression of that, where God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And then later on, sorry, I've lost it in my text here. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's greatest act towards mankind, he did because he wanted to save mankind. What better expression of a good will towards mankind could you have? When the infant Jesus was presented in the temple, what did Simeon say? Amongst other things, he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." God was doing what he was doing at that time for the benefit of all nations. Certainly wasn't just for Israel. Jesus said, recorded in John chapter 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus expressing the reason for his being with us, so that we can have life to the full. And he wasn't saying that to the disciples. He was expressing that to a general audience. And the passage from 2 Peter. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." I think there's no doubt that God's attitude, the way God thinks of the people in his world, is a good one. He wants good for them. He wants blessing for them. And the second question then, since I've said that if that dormant goodwill is hardly worth bothering about, what has he done about it? And this is where we come back to Christmas. Because, as I said a few moments ago, the supreme act of goodwill that God has done, amongst many others, is in taking on human form himself, in however you express it, pouring himself into the limited form of a human being in order to die and save us, in order to rise again and show that there is a way to be reconciled, there is a way to overcome our sinfulness, our waywardness. And it is particularly a Christmas theme. It's annually at this time of year, in this season of Advent leading up to Christmas, that we think especially about that. So I could make an argument for Christmas being a season of goodwill. Just as another aside, I have at times thought we should start this in March. Surely it was the conception that was the start of it all, not the birth, but I'm probably a lone voice in that. That would make a long Advent and a big Advent calendar. We do celebrate in this Advent season leading up to Christmas the expression of God's good will towards mankind in being born as Jesus. And not everyone recognizes that, and that's why I carried on in the John passage. There are people who don't see the light, don't want to accept the light, hide from the light. We have to remember that, but the expression is there for everyone to see who chooses to see it. And the third question is the way I often end up my sermons, whether I You know, say it out loud or not, it's you know, so what for us now? How do we apply it? I hope that's helped you understand at least the way I think about goodwill, the way it is relevant to the Advent and Christmas season, the way we can be sure God has an attitude of goodwill towards us and has expressed that in what he has done. What about us? And again, this seems almost a no-brainer to me. If we are those who have accepted the gift, who have come into the light, then we are people who are on the way to growing to be like Jesus, of taking on more and more of God's character. And that must include, amongst its many facets, taking on more of his attitude of that goodwill toward other people, of wanting what is good for them, wanting what blesses them, wanting what encourages them and builds them up. It is something that's year-round, as are all the other things that we remember, especially at the seasonal times in the Christian calendar, but perhaps especially so. How do I express, well, how do I perhaps develop that more in my character, but how do I express my goodwill towards other people throughout the year and perhaps especially at Christmas? How do you do that? How do we as a community, how do we as a family or a wider church community, how do we develop our goodwill towards all? How do we find ways of expressing goodwill to all? What might be appropriate, especially this Christmas for you? I'm actually going to leave that as a final question for you to think about. If you want a few ideas, then I suggest you go back to A Christmas Carol. And if you read, rather than watching the film, if you read stave 5 of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, which is where Scrooge expresses his new characteristic, which I would say includes a lot of goodwill towards his fellow men, you'll find ways there that certainly I could relate to, of ways I might express something of God's goodwill better, you know, towards my friends, neighbours and everyone else this Christmas. May you do the